Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. It has been a fantastic day, ladies and gentlemen, here in South Florida. We're down here just up from Miami in Fort Lauderdale area, a little beach town called Deerfield Beach, and it has been beautiful, beautiful weather, California weather out here today. It's just fantastic. I'm very excited about tonight's episode because... We have a returning guest, but it's been a couple years since he's been on, and I'm so glad that he's back. I'd like everybody to welcome a fantastic, super talented guitar player and musician. I'd like to welcome Mr. Johnny Andorani, and hopefully, Johnny, I'm saying your name correctly.
It's close enough, I think it says... I'm trying to figure out how, if like for other people listening. So is this on the page or do they have to click something else to,
it's on the page. Yep.
Is it?
It's on the page and then it should just play automatically for them.
If not, there's a big
white arrow and they can click that and that'll play.
Okay. Oh, they'll figure it out on top. All right. After what's up, man. All right. So, no worries. My name. I guess how'd you say it? I don't even know. It's just Andreani. When I was younger, it was called the Andreanki. Some reviews that were for Whatever Makes You Happy album used to say Andretti, like the race car driver Andreni. So
I don't even know my own name.
Cool.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome Johnny Smith to the show. I'm kidding, of course, Johnny. I like.
Thank you.
Andreni, I like that. That's cool, man. makes me want to race a car.
Yeah.
So you've got an interesting story. Tell everybody a little bit about your background, when you got into music, and because you've done it all, really. You've been doing this for a minute.
Well, aside from the fetish films, I'm just getting into that now. I'm kidding. It depends on how you look at it. It's an interesting story, but it's also like a grueling and extremely laborious life that I've had in many phases and many stages, and I'm still going through it. But they've all helped me kind of mold into like my appreciation for music since I was a kid. I started as a drummer, like when I was 2 years old with a snare drum. The younger I was, the older the music I liked for some odd reason. Like I was listening to jazz when I was six, and then I got obsessed with Bob Dylan and Queen at 10. And my whole life I've always loved all music, many genres, and kind of lent itself to me being all over the place, like as far as like as a songwriter, which I didn't really become until, well, I wrote a little bit in high school, like joke stuff, but I was more a drummer up until, you know, I was in a band after high school until my mid-20s. I guess I came out front singing just because I was writing more songs, but I've always loved drumming. And I still drum when I produce and stuff. But,
nice.
Yeah.
Is therapeutic for you?
Drumming is therapeutic, but I don't, excuse me?
When you sit down to the drum kit start banging them out?
Yeah, I don't do it enough. I mean, believe it or not, through the years, my job in between trying to get, you know, being surviving and getting, you know, hurt again in the music industry.
Right.
I learned the royalty checks I get. Some of them are like from songs that I didn't even release that I get. It's like, I don't even put this song out there, or, you know, something that you see, like go from like 2 cents to like $4 to 17 to, yeah, hopefully it goes back to like more money again. But throughout the years, I've taught, I've given drum lessons, which I love to teach drums, And I do some guitar and from a more of a songwriting standpoint, but I like to teach the theory behind them with music and songwriting. Mm. But that keeps me grounded, not only with like the energy of kids, which I love, and I also it can be crazy at times as well. But that's my karma coming back to me. Drumming, it keeps me like drumming and playing, because otherwise I don't really. I never practice anything. I'm not one of these guitar players that sit down and practice or play, which nothing against that. I love people, anybody who has a passion and does something obsessively. I guess I'm more of that with production and songwriting. And so, but I do love the art of a great, you know, structured, whatever it is, instrument. And that comes out when I'm producing, you know. And then sometimes I have to copy my own solo because I don't know. I can't play it live yet.
To repeat it, right?
Right.
Wow.
But yeah, drumming is
cool,
very.
Man. Well, that just goes to show, you know, your level of talent and skills and whatnot that you have. Now, doing the teaching different music and whatnot. I know a couple of people who do it. Actually, I've got a friend of mine who lives in Mexico City. She teaches guitar. And she does it. It's interesting to me because she does it all over like Skype and stuff like that. She teaches people all over the place.
I never would have seen that coming. Yep. There's a couple of things I do with friends and, you know, and other people that like one kid, little wife, he'll be like, he'll have to go. He's like, if you could text me the rest of that beat and then I do. And then he's like, can you put it on YouTube on unlisted or whatever? And then you could slow it down or something. You know? That's kind of funny. Cause they can do that. And so I have this thing with it, you know, kind of personalized lesson, which is something funny. A lot of people can do. I was thinking of just doing that as one offs, like just, okay, I'll have like a little meeting and I'll see what your level is. And I can make it like a nutritionist or a diet person that gives you a diet to, you know, have.
I hear you. That's fantastic. Well, you know, and it's crazy. These kids, I tell you, I sound like an old man now, you know, but man, yeah, I can't keep up with them sometimes, you know. I'm lucky to figure out Facebook, you know, let alone.
Well,
I would not slow a YouTube video down if my life depended on it.
Well,
I jumped
on
that
as soon as computers came out. I was playing chess mostly because I went from writing 50 songs a year to 3 because I got obsessed with chess. I mean, I'm not kidding. Like, I literally did not care, and I still had like a publishing deal at the time. And his lawyer was like, "You better just like get out of this thing, or you're just going to keep giving them songs, and they're going to own everything." But I was playing chess, and I was just like, "I don't care. I just want to play chess." but I was also like learning how the internet works. So I was like, they call it bleaching then, where you get a website, and I would just like, you know, take the background, and then I would figure out where the links go, and I kind of taught myself some coding and. But then I got programs to help me understand. But I actually understand you don't need to do that now. I mean, you haven't had to do that in years. But I've always loved technology. I had a sister that worked with computers who passed years ago. But she used to say my family kind of like needs to do things that with our brain with that, because we don't. We kind of just get in trouble with other things. So it relaxes.
Right, I hear you.
I am really a coffee
mind
teacher.
Occupied.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Well, this is fantastic. Yeah. Well, chess is very easy to get addictive to. Now, you playing on the street, or you just know people, or
I don't anymore.
Do
I try not
play?
Anymore. No, because if I do, I get really obsessed, and I want to. I mean, I am going to go back to it, but I'm just. It's, you know, I'm like, I'm kind of. I don't want to say I'm totally running out of time, because my family, we just kind of, we can be all right, and then we just die out of nowhere. You know, it's like when you just see birds flying out of the sky. So I'm trying to dedicate most of my time with just music and even other people's music. I love producing. I'm producing a friend's album from who I used to play drums with, his name is Sam Gironda, and it's his second album. This one is, hopefully can finish mixing. I didn't even get to finish the other one and mixing it. And he was just like, don't, What is somebody texting me? Somebody heard me giving me some. This is pretty funny. Who is this? Do I sound like I'm on crack? I'm drinking wine. I'm relaxed. Actually, a friend of mine lives in Florida.
I think you're fine. I am.
I drank a little wine to just not sound too hyper because. Like the song, there's a song I have there called The Last Show, and it's, I kind of have this, like, I play a role, like, in life, everybody does, I believe, obviously, because I wrote it, but, it's, sometimes I actually have this, like, nervous thing when I have to talk or deal with people, and it's not because I dislike, I actually love everybody, I try to love everybody, even myself sometimes, but, it's kind of like a nervous, like a role you play. And so that, I believe, like, I'm actually more mellow and boring in my own life. I like peace and quiet. So when I'm talking,
you know, John,
and
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I am the same way. And, you know, it's
like
funny.
When you're on the show,
a lot of people.
You're pretty fun.
Yeah. You know, yeah, you're on and whatnot. And that's one of, you know, I'm in the art business. And I'm a painter by trade. I paint pictures of people and stuff. And when I do shows and stuff, one of the things that has been terrible in my career and really hard for me is in the art world, you kind of get, I'm sure you understand this because music, especially the rock world, the same way. You know, people, they want to see the rock star and all this and that. And they, you know, they think that it's one way. They kind of glamorize it. And with the art world, it's like, oh, you got to be the weirdo artist and all this and that. And I'm not that way. I'm very analytical. And, you know, I'm not aloof at all. But they don't want to see, you know, they don't want me to talking about, you know, copyright law or anything like that. They you know, so I'll play up the role, you know. Oh, yeah, well, I got drunk and then I painted the, you know. And that's not the case at all. But that's what they want to hear. But, you know, you got to do it, you know. You got to wear the uniform of the day, you know. It's just part of it.
I mean, it's not
that
I try to. I don't care. It's not like I'm trying to placate somebody's, like, if we're just talking about something or, you know, oh, yeah, like, oh, this, or try to, like, it's just a kind of, like, nervousness that I just have to, like, just speak for the sake of speaking because I actually find it, like, almost boring to just talk about whatever. But it's not really boring, and it all depends. Like somebody like you, it's your job to be the navigator through
move
this,
it along.
And like, I love to listen to other people talk. It's like I'll listen to like I could go on and listen to like Michael Stipe of REM like in an interview for like a whole hour, and just like I'm fascinated by other people's. I guess my whatever so.
I watched an interview with Billy Corgan the other day from Smashing Pumpkins, and I was fascinated. He was talking about wrestling and stuff, and you know, a little bit about music here and there, and his journey. But it fascinated me. I was just like, wow, I had no idea this guy was into all these other things, you know, and knows about it. You with chess, you know what I mean? I find that fascinating. I have a good friend of mine that's just like you though, and with golf. He can't start playing golf because if he does, nothing else is going to get done. he goes single-mindedness.
What's so funny, I was looking for something, I think, for one of my videos, like my Saturn Return video, and it was like some old footage, and I came across this thing where I don't know why I had a video camera on like this old Gateway computer that was like this big block I got in like 1997, and I'm like filming myself playing chess for like hours while I'm chain smoking, and I'm going like, first of all, why am I filming this? It's the back of my head, and you just see smoke coming out of me for like a dragon, like a baby dragon. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong?
I'm telling you, man. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Holla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
We could put that in a gallery in Miami and charge a lot of money for people to watch that.
What is your
what art do you do? Oh, I do just paintings, you know, kind of like Andy Warhol type stuff and pop art.
I've seen some of your.
I paint all kinds of stuff, but you know, I mean, it's what I do. You know, it's what I've done for 25 years now or something. You know, it's
portraits, right? And, a lot of portraits.
Oh, yeah, a lot of portraits. Yeah, a ton of portraits.
That's great.
Really? Cool. And the thing is kind of like you're doing portraits for me is kind of like you're teaching, I think. You know, I mean, it's one of those things that kind of pays the bill, you know. You know, let me put it this way. If the wife comes and says, we need a new washing machine, I know that portraits are going to pay for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it also keeps you sharp with whatever, like, kept me – it's made me have to like stay as like kind of like a, you know, a good drummer. Like,
keep those muscles moving, man. That's the thing. Because if you don't, you know, and it's weird. People that aren't in the creative worlds, or creative jobs, I should say. It's hard for them to wrap their head around that. We have to keep doing this because if we don't, man, we'll go crazy. We get into bad things, trouble.
Well, I mean,
we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing.
It's an obsession, and that's what even teaching like becomes like. It makes me like think of new ways to like teach modes. Like it could be if you go on YouTube. I mean, there's some great people that people that can teach people things. But then there's people that like just want to show off like how good they are or something, and like they'll have them like soloing whatever thing, and then they explain things like so horribly, like terribly, not horribly, it's like not a harsh show, but I've learned to like simplify something that I could be like, oh wow, and like some math of music or like something that you could make somebody understand and show them a trick to something that can help them understand something that's otherwise could be complicated and very simple, you know?
Absolutely. Anyway. That's cool, man. And that's the secret right there with any kind of art, you know, with any kind of art is Yeah, it's so funny because people ask me all the time. They're like, "Oh, should I go to school?" And I'm like, "Well," I said, "you know, one of the things, a couple of things about my thoughts on schooling, as far as art goes, that's all I know, is it teaches you how to think. But man, you learn a lot of little shortcuts. You know, you will save a ton of time if you know how to do something quickly and simply."
That's what education is about. That's what it's about. It's like people that were that have knowledge. It's just, so there you go. You could have somebody that could be a bad teacher, and just have whatever their thing is, and or you could have somebody that's had experience and have like if I had my druthers and had another whatever, I would totally have done a lot other. You know, I would have loved to have gone to school for literature and stuff and another life. I was a wise-ass, not hyper asshole. I was at a conservatory of music with a, like, semi-scholarship and people from Juilliard teaching me other instruments, and I was just a hyper idiot that just, like, laughed when the teacher was like, did you practice? And I thought it was funny to say no and watch his expression, like an ass. Can I curse? Or I'm not supposed to curse, honey.
Yeah, of course, man. Of course, we're on the internet. It's all good. I hear you. Johnny, I was such a knucklehead when I was a kid. I'm surprised. I mean, everybody kind of says this, but totally am surprised in my life that I am still here because of some of the stupid stuff I did when I was younger. Yeah. You know, I'm just like, man, I don't know. You know, I need to drop off a dollar in the collection plate or something. Somebody's been looking out for me is all I can say. And I ain't complaining about it. Hey, we've got four tracks we're going to play tonight, ladies and gentlemen, of Johnny's music here. And I don't have these in any particular order or anything, Johnny. I'll just read them off and you tell me what you think we should play first for people. We've got Narcissist, No Man's Land, Recipe for Disaster, and The Last Show. What do you think we should hit people with first?
You know, first of all, it's like a beautiful night, so most of the people that I know are probably out eating dinner. So is this going to be like you're going to have this up on the website after, like on your site?
Oh, yeah. It goes to a podcast. Matter of fact, when we change it to a podcast, it's crazy. We get a lot of live listeners, but really we get thousands more that listen to it on the podcast. After it's,
all right, so I mean, respect your listeners that you have now. I'm sorry for just making it about my own friends or whoever. It's like, you know, what's strange. I have so many songs that sometimes like what you're feeling and the times, like, you know, obviously sometimes I reflect and project too much of my feelings into whatever, but I guess I felt like this is a strange collection because they're some of them are older songs. The Last Show, some I wrote in the 80s, but I've had dragging on from different places. I've carried different tracks from like one was from another place I lived in. Sometimes I've moved and tracks got lost, and I had just a bass, but it was good. So Recipe for Disaster was a song I wrote for a punk band called the Dead Guineas that I kind of like just a couple of them I've taken back and I got rid of my, I have many personas. I was a persona of Johnny Incarnation. That's my whatever pissed off guinea ghost that like comes back to life. And I channel sometimes. I used to channel, I didn't channel other people, but I wanted to be other people when I was young because I didn't have my own identity. I still don't have an identity because I'm a slave to like all the voices in my head, but I just make songs. So it's fine, but at least they're my own now. So, you know, I needed those people though. Like I needed Guns N' Roses to come out and kick me in the ass just to, cause when they came out, it was like, oh, this is a good kick in the ass for music now. It needs this. But then when Nirvana came out, I was just like, I just thought they were like a heavier REM, whom I love. I love REM, but then I didn't get, and then I totally like got into whatever. And then I saw a lot of similarities into some of the stuff I was doing. I don't want to brag about it, like years before. I always say that people who know me, I probably posted on Facebook that a producer said, you were Sex Pistols meets the Beatles 8 years before everybody. But that's probably why I like certain music of like styles. But from that time, I guess there was Nirvana and STP. A lot of the other stuff I'm not that into, but I respect them for what they were good at. But so
I hear you.
Let's
play a track.
Yeah.
You want to start out with Recipe for Disaster?
Excuse me?
You want to start out with Recipe for Disaster? We can do that.
Yeah, we can play that. So that was a Degany song that now it's my song. I took it back from myself, my ghost self. So, yeah, start off. Let's play that, Recipe for Disaster.
Cool. Check it out, everybody. This is Recipe for Disaster. Fantastic track, man. I dig that a lot, Johnny. That is awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, that's great.
I think my buddy Sam Girondo, who I'm doing, I think he was bass on that because I wrote him a funny message because there were two bass tracks and I wasn't sure if it was this, like, he likes to come in with these, like, cheap bass instruments. He calls me a gear snob, which I'm not, but it was kind of funny, so just one more plug for Sam. Finishing his album, it'll be out in the summer.
If you want
to just go into another song, I can digress and talk, and it could take forever. So if anybody wants to just hear another song,
no. Yeah, man, we can go. Would you want to go last show next? We go No Man's Land or
Last Show? I might say last show is my. That's maybe we'll say for last because it's self-explanatory.
Okay.
You know, but it's like life. So
yeah.
You know what might be good is the song I called Narcissist that was a song of mine that I have this project with a friend of mine who's an artist, great artist. He's actually driving back from, I don't know if it's Montana or Wyoming right now. He's going to hear it after, and he's fabulous artist, Tom Wolf. So I have a project with him called Word Militia. So he had this poem that he wrote, and I was like, oh my God, this fits one of my songs, Narcissist. So I used his spoken word track for the verses. So it's basically, it's my song Narcissist, but featuring Word Militia. So you can play that if you want. So this is Tom Wolf speaking his poem in my song. And I think I have a pretty guitar solo. This is one of those guitar solos I can't play. I have to learn it myself, copy myself. So Narcissist, yeah.
I hear you, man. Well, here it is, folks. This is Narcissist featuring Word Militia. Ladies and gentlemen, man, another great track, Johnny. Narcissist
now
featuring Word Militia.
Yeah, that is
awesome.
Yeah,
we're
actually
constantly
working
on
that, but it's we have some more heavier tracks with Word Militia. Yeah, like I said, so the last two are pretty funny because they're what I would call another person. It's probably where I'm going with music after when I just had enough of everything. I'm just going to get a bicycle that has a motor on it and guitar on my back. And
now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
I don't even know what the style is. I guess it's people can think for themselves. But I only can do these tracks when I wake up. It's a different voice of mine that you wouldn't even probably think it was me singing for No Man's Land in
right.
The last show. You know what
got me? Oh, that's cool, man. That is cool. Yeah, I was. So, I like this. Man, that narcissist. I like all these tracks. That narcissist really, really resonated with me. I like that. That's a cool.
Somebody wrote a funny thing years ago. I put out songs and then I take them down. And somebody wrote on like a page that I don't use. It's my supposed fan page, whatever. And a lady wrote, "I love your song, Narcissist. You nailed my husband. you nailed him.
There you go. There you go. Well, I think what it is we've all met people like that. You know what I mean?
Especially
if you're in entertainment.
Here's my take on narcissism. Really what it is in life is like there's a healthy ego and there's an unhealthy ego getting carried away with ourselves.
Right.
But I remember years ago I was like, my mom used to always say, you want to write the best, you read the best. And I love reading. I wish I had more time to read more and more. I'd like to give a plug to somebody that's a great book I was reading. This guy who, speaking of rock, because it kind of segues, this guy named Carl Dupree. He wrote this. Mm-hmm. He wrote the movie Detroit Rock City about those kids who were fans going to a Kiss concert. Do you remember that?
I do. Fantastic movie.
And he
Detroit,
wrote a
so,
lot of
you know,
Hellraisers.
We loved it.
He wrote a lot of Hellraisers movies, and he's mm-hmm. still writing, and he's writing books now. He's got a book on Amazon called 12 Story Asylum. It's so good. It's like so interesting. It's like definitely sci-fi and meets like a lot of stuff. I think I did a video. I'm a little stupid right now because I've been drinking a little wine, so I don't want to say too much about him because it's bad enough I could barely see what I'm talking about.
No, it's fine, man.
But it's
I am
great.
Writing
Carl
it down, though, because I'm going to read it.
Good. He's such a good writer, and he's so funny. He's on Facebook, he posts funny things, and he's so interesting. And he helped me. I actually wrote a movie. I have a couple of screenplays, but he helped me as an advisor, gave me a lot of good advice. I have a screenplay called A Prayer for Rock and Roll that's kind of based on my life. A book was more of it because there's more funny stories in it. But I'm putting this out there in case, because one day if it happens, you know that it was mine and they stole it. Because I don't know if I should tell the whole thing because it doesn't matter these days. People can steal it. But it's a cool concept. And maybe I shouldn't say too much, but it's called A Prayer for Rock and Roll.
That's awesome.
I don't know.
Well,
my
you should do it, man. You should do it.
My brother used to say, "Yeah, don't worry about if something's stolen. You're lucky. Don't copyright anything. If somebody steals something, you got an easier chance of getting something known." So, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a point.
No, I was digressing. What was I saying? I was digressing, of course. Oh, I went from writing. I talked about Carl Dupree. So, So when I was in my, I guess 20s, I was in an acting class. And I got a record deal out of nowhere. It was just like the point I didn't even care anymore. I just had nightmare people that I was around and some good people. I was a nightmare myself. But so I was reading this thing about, it was a book called Of Love and Lust. And it was interesting. The guy, Theodore Reich, he was like a sort of like, not a predecessor to Freud, but kind of like delved into more like other elements of life and love and sex and relationships. But I'll never forget like, what narcissism like really is like more of, it's like, it might be where the term dying to be loved came from. I use that in the song, but like the myth of narcissist, he fell in love with his reflection. It's like almost like, you know, when a bird is with another bird and dies and you get a mirror for it. It's not really about self-love. It's not about self-love as it is much as being lonely and yearning to be loved. So like, if somebody's a narcissist, they actually don't have a developed ego. It's actually the opposite, where there's somebody that needs to, like, they're so yearning to be loved so badly that they are just, like, constantly need, You know, some people became stars because of
that. Yeah.
Look at my name now. Younger, I used to not care, but I try to have like a new thing where I don't want to put anybody down anymore unless I'm just pissed off and somebody's attacking me on Facebook. Then I'll go to like I don't give a shit. But I would have said I
mow the lawn.
That's
what I do. Our lawn gets mowed a lot lately.
That's funny.
Oh, it's funny. Hey, well, let's play No Man's Land because this is up next.
So okay, so No Man's Land.
Should we play
I want to
talk
give
about
it. Yeah, I could
or
do
no,
that. I'll just say I have a friend, Rosalie Logan, is a great songwriter in her own with her style of like kind of she gets mad when I say folk rock, but she's got a great way with melody. And I produced one of her albums years ago. God, she's gonna kill me. What was the title of it? After All This Time, you could find that on iTunes or whatever. Something Rosalie Logan. She's singing backup on this the ghostly female voice that you hear. This will set up last show because these are my tracks that I can sing when I wake up with my black coffee. So No Man's Land.
Nice.
It's self-explanatory.
Nice. Here it is, folks. Check it out. This is No Man's Land. Track, ladies and gentlemen, what a track. That was No Man's Land. Oh, and the button's sticking there. There it is. There it is. Johnny's back with us. Sorry about that, Johnny. Say again?
I forgot I was a long fade out. I mean, I should have told you that you could have just, like, the other ones, too, if it's a long fade out, just cut it off.
No, it's fine, man. I like those long fade outs, you know? It makes it more polished, that's all. It's good stuff. Sure. I like that. Brings us back from the dream, you know? Or into the dream, as the case may be. Very, very cool. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Elbae Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
There you go. Yeah, it's, that's an awesome truck. I like that, too, because it almost has a Western kind of feel to it, you know, a no man's land, you know. I want to be riding a motorcycle when I hear that track, you know what I mean, out west somewhere with vistas.
Oh, if you like that, you probably, a song called Carry Me Home that's actually about, I'm using the metaphor of the cycle of life with that, kind of goes with that. It's funny. It's interesting you said that.
That's cool, man. See, great minds think alike and all that. Now, the last track we're going to play is The Last Show. Tell us a little bit about The Last Show.
What is that?
I said the next track we're going to play, or the final track of the evening, is called The Last Show. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Oh, crap. I don't even... it's a very bizarre song that I swear it goes back to, like, I think I actually wrote it in, like, 1985. I'm really aging myself now. But I never, like, it was something that was just out there. Like, I mean, look, it's really weird. I'm not going to get into it. I know I just said that if I go off on a thing, I can go off on a tangent. And I can talk, like, forever. Like, just, it's crazy.
I gotcha.
Maybe we'll do like an existential rock and roll, like something kind of show, or I'll talk to you about that. Cause, I have a lot of crazy people that like my phone and messenger and phone. If somebody gets my number, it goes around. I get calls and messages and I don't have the territory, you know, like other people, they go, oh, it comes with the territory. Well, All right, it'd be nice if I had the territory, like, you know, people like that are whatever, if they are famous. And they, I get that without the territory. So it's it sucks because, like, I actually have to have the bad side of that is, like, my whatever. I mean, even karma is not, like, a punishment. It's just, it's like a, just a cause and effect. It's, you know, it's like a, I don't know what it is. I'm talking myself out of, boring myself. Anyway, so, so what were you talking about?
The last show.
Oh,
we're
yeah. So
play that one next.
That goes way back, and it's just a song about, I guess, your all of our what I was talking about before. Being we're all actors. I take a lot from. I love Shakespeare. When I was younger, I read a lot of Shakespeare. But well, I was more inspired by James Joyce and Dostoevsky. Is my favorite writers. But it's kind of self-explanatory as well. Life being the stage and death being the final, you know, show.
Right. I gotcha.
And,
I gotcha.
This
the
is
veil.
A version that I kind of went with my morning coffee voice. I kind of combined. So you're hearing a recording of not way back. This, I guess this recording started like maybe 8 years ago or something. So I kind of just,
okay.
I'm trying to get all my stuff together. It's like when people get there before they're like, you know, I'm kind of like mentally and spiritually tired of this world. So I'm like, just want all my songs like in its own library, you know, in case, it'll either
Working
pay for my depends.
Yeah.
Well, pay for my depends in my if I live to be older, or I'm just gonna give it, leave them all to, you know, one of my nephews, and just if, you know, a song does catch on, he'll make money, and we can just, you know, hopefully enjoy life. And
that's right.
Live on it. So
go
yeah,
buy that fancy
show,
car. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, here it is, everybody. This is the last show. Check this out.
Is nothing but a stage. Everyone's an actor with a part to play. Each one living out their scenes. I'll play my role. 'Cause this life's a show. I'm a clown in the middle of a rodeo. Play. Some die young just like James Dean. Somewhere another star is born. The show must go on. 'Cause this life's a show. I'm a clown in the middle of a rodeo. Very last show.
What a track. What a track. The last show. Johnny, man, that's another one. Out of the park, buddy. Out of the park. I love it.
Doc, you're just saying that.
No, it's true. It's true. I'm sitting there going, I could end every show with this track. This track's magnificent. I can't afford it.
That's secret, but I'll take it anyway.
Well, that's fantastic. No, I want to let people know, we haven't mentioned this in the whole show because we've been talking about everything, but we do have links up on our show page to your Facebook page and your website. And I want people to get over there. It's so important. Those who aren't in the creative world, maybe not, they don't realize this. If you dig an artist, doesn't matter what he is, or what he's doing or her, whatever, like and share their social media and whatnot. That helps with the algorithms, and it really helps a lot. So, you know, doesn't cost you anything. Like and share, definitely. Now, Johnny,
you.
People wanted to buy any of these tracks or whatnot. Are these out? Do you have these out and available, or would you post that on your Facebook when they are available and whatnot?
Absolutely not.
What's the best
I don't believe in selling art. Okay. I think it should just be, you know. Oh, I'm kidding, kind of kidding.
Nice.
No, I give stuff out, but none of that stuff is out. There, you could find other versions, maybe. There's a, but I'm going to put some of that, like I said, I'm making my library of one good thing about what I had to deal with in the last month for myself, there's no good silver lining. It's very sad. I'm not happy with people suffering in any way for what's happening, or animals, because I am vegan,
right.
Of course. but I've got to clean, like, where I live. I live in this beautiful place, this lady who's an amazing artist, her and her son. And I live in the basement, like, where I love basement. I turn into my studio. But I had a mouse infestation because I was feeding one for, like, a year.
Oh, wow.
I named him Howie. And I was really feeding him because, like, he became unafraid of me. So I would just be sitting there, and he'd come out and, like, just, like, right in front of me, and, like, turned around, dancing, eating whatever I made. So for him not to bother me, just whatever, I would throw food behind our TV set before I went to sleep. Or
right.
So he was like, oh, this
is your roommate.
Yeah, well, not a roommate. He went and told, like, the neighborhood. So they came and they just, like, started, like, just a party. So what I turned it into, I actually have a strobing light on. I have a mouse disco. Every night I turn on a strobing light and it just, but it kind of tracks them. But what I did is I really cleaned my whole basement area. I even got a retro fridge because I'm going to do some vegan videos to help people eat better in this time because I really believe, like, you know, I can help people with anti-inflammatory diet and stuff. And I would like to say what's happening with the world just a little bit, just because I think we all have to have more compassion.
Man. We have plenty of time.
More compassion and care about each other more. And things that are happening, people want to, like, have their agenda, whatever news thing or whatever party they have. But what it's really about is that it's a wake-up call. And when things change is, like, never comfortable. It's not supposed to be. So people have to, like, people that feel threatened by whatever change, they have to go to their agenda and say everything that's wrong with something else. Like, oh, well, there's this. Well, no, there's no justification in killing somebody that was, like, you know, didn't in any way.
Absolutely.
You can't justify. You know, so it's just I don't care. I don't follow a party. I used to consider myself more liberal, but in the last whatever years, I think a lot of liberals have completely embarrassed themselves, where I'm actually ashamed to say I'm liberal, but I'm not a right wing agenda because they make fun of vegans, and everybody's taking fun of vegans now. So. But
right.
Of course, all lives matter, but I understand the Black Lives Matter just means that they want to just say but I almost feel like it's even sad to say that because we shouldn't have to say that. It should be obvious. It's
right.
Like, I don't want to sign petitions for animals not to be killed anymore because it shouldn't have to be. So, but we're there. So, you know, we have to listen.
I agree 100%.
And we have to listen to the people that are the ones that are the victims of this. It's nice that a lot of, like, you know, rich white people are speaking out for them, but a lot of it is lip service. Not a lot of it, but some of it is lip service. But at least it brings attention to, you know, and people to become, at least to care about others, then that's what has to happen. Look, we all have. I'm with my friends. I'm a total. I can say stupid things and things behind closed doors that could be racist or sound rape, whatever. And I joke because I say I'm racist against the human race. And I like stereotypes to paint a picture. But really, what's happening now? It's not good to do if you're going to put it out there where some other idiot thinks it's okay if you talk like that. You know, if you say.
Or even do actions with it.
Especially if they think there's something, like, they look up to you or whatever, and whatever.
Oh yeah, man. Oh, absolutely. It's interesting the time we live in with all the evils and pitfalls of social media and stuff. And there are many. There can become quicksand, suck you down into it. But at the same time, one of the things I really like are some of these memes that I've seen that. Just really lay out so eloquently and humorously, even though what we're talking about is not funny in the least at all, some of the stuff. But, you know, I saw one yesterday where the police union guy's going on, you know, quit victimizing us. You know, everybody's a victim. It's easy to play the victim. It's hard to play the, okay, well, I was wrong and I'm going to make a change, you know. And there's nothing, you know, course correct, you know, if you're being a jerk, then don't be one anymore. It's easy.
I have a friend who lived through being a cop in the South Bronx, and he has a good heart, and he was never a crooked cop. I mean, and there are, of course, there are, right. but that's not the point. The point is that the civil rights movement wasn't that long ago. We had to fucking beg people that they were hosing people to, like, oh, they couldn't use this bathroom or in the streets, and, like, you know, so long. Right. And I have a student I was teaching today. She's in the Bronx. I'm not going to say her name, but she's a black girl in the Bronx. And I wanted to listen to her perspective, and I'm not going to get into all of it, but it's like she was saying exactly that too. Like, when will, and so, yeah, like, you could forget it. We don't have to keep harping on, well, you know, and it really comes down to what I say in Recipe for Disaster. It is about fear, because I was telling her, some people are racist just because, really, they're just cowards, and they don't like anybody that's different.
Absolutely.
As simple as that. So I asked her if maybe we had people that were, like, of their race in the neighborhoods, but she didn't think so, because she thinks, like, the badge and the authority, which can be true. I've experienced it myself, not to get into it, but I can look like a nut job where I'm scared. But then there's plenty of times people can read you and they see and they don't, you know, but it comes down to it's good, because we need to now at least start to, like, change things and make this shit not happen anymore, where some mother has to worry about her son or daughter coming, you know, being killed by some fucking power-hungry asshole.
And that's the thing that I think so many, you know, people that just don't understand is, there are people literally dying in the street that don't need to be done, that are dead, gone forever. That's it. You know, they shouldn't have been too. Well, whatever, man. You know, even if you stole a pack of cigarettes, nobody needs to kill you for that. You know, that's not a punishable by death crime. You know, we have, you know, what is there? 14 levels of murder in this country. You know what I mean?
That's why I wrote that. Yeah. But we got to communicate too. We have to talk, and yes, we can't target all, because there are a lot, like I said, I have a buddy that's a, you know, great person and it's not an easy job either. I know that he had to go into neighborhoods that was very scary.
I wouldn't want that job.
All the stories with, you know, whatever it was, but still, fear breeds fear, and it's not, you're going to still change something, and you can make a situation worse or better depending on how you react. So it's like, you know, animals aren't, pit bulls not evil. It's people are breeding them that way, and then they become mean. So, you know.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. It's melting.
I hear you, Johnny. Hey, man, let's not wait 3 years for to have you back on the show. I want you back on a lot quicker next time, man. This was a lot of fun. You know,
definitely, Gene. I have some other. I'll do a more happier side. I have a song, "Wildflower Child," which is a combination of the song. I have a wildflower and flower child. So I actually had that. I have a lot of songs finished, but I didn't feel like the mood with everything that's happening. So it was fun. So thank you for having me. And let's thank Allison Metal Babe for
For putting it all together.
She's such a great person.
She is fantastic.
Still, tries to support me and help me, and I appreciate that. And she's got an awesome husband, Grant, whom I met last summer.
Oh, yeah.
Really cool.
I have them both on the show next week. I'm having them both on the show. You know, it was so crazy. I was talking. Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. I was talking to a totally different type of music. I was talking to a DJ friend of mine who is, you know, he does like techno music, and where the hell is he at? Like, Sylvania or something. I don't know, somewhere crazy, Prague or someplace. And we were talking, and he brought up Allison. And I'm like, wait, Metal Babe, she's into rock. She's not even into this kind of dance music. And he's like, oh, yeah, but I know she's way cool, you know. And just goes to show Allison knows everybody everywhere. I am so impressed with her. MetalBabeMayhem.com, folks. They're the official sponsor of tonight's episode. So be sure to check them out
and
whatnot. Yeah, absolutely. And tune in next week because we got her and her husband Grant's band, Kuda Brown's going to be on Wednesday and Thursday night. So check them out, man. Tune in and we will be talking about all kinds of stuff. Very, very cool, Johnny. You rock. You are cool, turned up to 10. And I'm going to keep telling you this. You know this. Keep doing what you're doing, man, because you're real, real good at it. You know?
Well,
such a good musician.
Sometimes, yeah, you got to write crummy songs too. Like sometimes, you know, I don't always like everything I do.
Oh,
that's why.
It's Johnny.
Well,
it's the same
you,
way
Johnny.
With art.
And I want to check out more of your stuff.
I'll send you some links and stuff. Very cool. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap up things up for us tonight. This episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast, pushed out on all the various social media platforms. And all the podcasting platforms. We're on like 200 of them. It's crazy. Actually, I think it's like 250, but it doesn't matter. The big one is Apple Podcasts. They used to call that iTunes, and they had a big meeting. You know, guys in suits and ponytails all sat down at a big table and said, there's too many podcasts. We got to rebrand. So they call the old iTunes podcast is now Apple Podcasts. We're on that. If you're listening to the podcast in the future on Apple Podcasts or any of these other places, hello from the past. Do me a quick favor. Hit that ratings and review. Keeps us up at the top of the page. And, you know, it just makes my life so much easier when I'm talking to advertisers and sponsors and that kind of stuff. So I appreciate it. Keeps the lights on around here. That's a good thing, baby. That's a good thing. We will be back on Monday. Monday night. This Monday, we will be as our special two-hour show. We do it once a month. It's called Monday Rocks Hot Topics. It's a nightclub DJ show about DJ culture and all that, nightclub life, and all of that. So that's this Monday, 10 o'clock on the East Coast, 7 o'clock on the West Coast, and, you know, everywhere else accordingly. So we will see you then. Have a good one, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.